Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, October 5th, the year of our Lord, 2025. And this is the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. It is an absolute joy to welcome you here to the podcast. I pray you are well, and I pray that our time together will be a time of spiritual renewal, revitalization. And it is our custom, our practice, as we join together here at the podcast to invite a spirit of gratitude, of thanksgiving into our presence and into our minds. And we do that first by taking in a big, deep breath. Take in that breath. And hold on to it. Savor it and let it go. And take in another breath. And name it as a gift. This breath is a gift from Almighty God. And God, we give you thanks for each and every breath, the breath of life. And as you breathe and as you are mindful that each and every breath is a gift from Almighty God, call to mind the other gifts in your life, the people and the places, the situations and the opportunities that fill you with joy, that light you up inside. And as these thoughts, as these images come to mind, and you name them and thank God for them, perhaps turn your face toward the heavens. Open your arms wide. Thanks be to God. And in this spirit, in this posture of thanksgiving, let's join together in worship. Please join me in the call to worship as printed in your digital bulletin. You can find that bulletin where you found today's podcast. Over on the left margin, you'll see a little tab that says Sermon Notes, just below the line there. If you tap on that, click on it, the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. O Lord, how long shall we cry for help, and you will not listen? Though the world is filled with violence and injustice, we bring our cries before you. We stand at our watchpost, waiting to see what you will say. We will listen for your word, trusting that your vision still speaks. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It will not delay. Though it linger, we will wait for it. For the righteous live by faith. Come, let us worship the Lord. Friends, our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Luke in the 17th chapter, verses 5 through 10. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave, who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me. Put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later, you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we pray, and we give you thanks for this, your good and living word. We pray your presence with us, that you would calm our minds, that you'd save us. Save us from misinterpretation and distraction. Help us to hear what it is you are saying to each and every one of us as individuals and as your church, the body of Christ. We ask this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Friends, we are blessed by this challenging reading here in the 17th chapter of Luke, a story that takes place during the journey toward Jerusalem, and we're only a couple chapters away from Jerusalem. And what you'll find if you read through these stories in the center of Luke's gospel is you can feel the intensity and the gravity and the urgency. Chapter by chapter, mile by mile, this urgency increases. Really trying to capture the hearts and the minds of these disciples to prepare them for what awaits them in Jerusalem and beyond. And he's been using all kinds of illustrations and teaching and performing signs and wonders, and he will continue to do that. I think it's helpful for us to go back to the beginning of chapter 17. Since the lectionary starts us at verse 5, let's just jump back to verse 1, and let's walk through this a bit. Jesus said to his disciples, "Occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to anyone by whom they come. It would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea than for you to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If another disciple sins, you must rebuke the offender. And if there is repentance, you must forgive. And if the same person sins against you 7 times a day and turns back to you 7 times and says, 'I repent,' you must forgive." Okay, this sets us up. for what the disciples ask at the beginning of our reading. When they ask, increase our faith. God, if this is what discipleship, Jesus, if this is what discipleship looks like, I don't know if I have that much forgiveness in my heart. 7 times a day, at what point do I just count this person as a lost cause? What we need more faith. And they ask for this faith as if it would come from some kind of anointing or some kind of a supplement that Jesus is carrying in his purse, as if it's a commodity. And the faith that Jesus speaks about is not a commodity. It's a disposition of heart and mind. They know what they need to know. They've seen what they need to see. But then they need to trust. And they need to put it into practice. He goes on to teach. If you had the faith, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now it'd be easy to sit there under the mulberry tree or beside the mulberry tree that Jesus is pointing to and say, okay, that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. That could be one response. The other could be, if I just believe well enough, deeply enough, I could do magic tricks. I could uproot trees and throw them into the ocean. But we have been around Jesus and his teaching long enough to know that we got to sit with his illustrations. We have to sit with his parables and his symbolism. Right, this is the Jesus that will tell the authorities, tear down this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days. And the gospel writer tells us he's talking about his body. So there's more to this mulberry tree than meets the eye. Let's think about the mulberry tree, this tree. And I wouldn't be able to point out a mulberry tree if you planted one in front of me. But what I've come to understand about mulberry trees is they are deeply rooted. It ain't easy to move a mulberry tree. Take a lot of work, probably several workers and some tools. And Jesus is saying that kind of obstacle, that deeply rooted impediment, the thing that you need to move for whatever reason, you'd need to move a mulberry tree. Through faith, such things are possible. So what are then? Maybe the natural thing for us to do then is to think about things that are deeply rooted and seemingly immovable. And maybe that's some sin in our life, some obsession, some addiction, some behavior, some attitude, a broken relationship, a way of thinking that seems like it will never change. But by faith, not by your own doing or some special supplement or anointing, but by consideration for the disciples of everything you've seen and heard me do, weaving that all together, and the number of times you heard me say you will do the same and more. Because you will be connected to the same source of life that you see animate me in my words and my actions. This will be possible for you. It will be essential, particularly for you disciples, as you get this movement underway. And he goes on to make an illustration that, again, because of its language, is hard for us to hear. He says, who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, come here at once and take your place at the table? Would you not rather say to him, prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink? Later you may eat and drink. Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done. Remember, this is Jesus talking to his disciple, the rabbi to his students, the master to those who would seek to serve him. The slave language is hard for us to hear because of all the connotations of it. It's an illustration that wouldn't have been so hard to understand in their time and place. Jesus saying to the disciples, we have a relationship. We have an agreement. I'm here to teach you. I've taught you about what it looks like to serve when you asked and argued amongst yourself who would be first, who would have the best table. I told you about the life of discipleship. It is a life of service until the work is done. And then you sit and have your reward. So there's no special gold star or participation trophy. The honor is in the work itself, which perhaps gets to this thing that is faith. Jesus essentially says to them, you have the faith that you need. You have not only your experience of me and the miles we've traveled and the works and the signs and the wonders you've seen me perform. And some of you have performed them yourselves. But then it's to go out, not knowing exactly what words you use, or maybe not knowing exactly where the resources will come from, or knowing that by any force of will, you don't seem to be able to cast off that thing that hinders you. He says, try. Offer the prayer. Offer the compassion. Just prior to what we read in chapter 17, there's a story at the end of chapter 16. And I would commend you to read it for yourself. I'll try to summarize it quickly. That's the story of the rich man and Lazarus, which is the story of, well, a rich man and a very poor man, an afflicted man who sits outside the city gate. He's a beggar. He is completely dependent on the charity of others. Well, this rich man never pays attention to him, never offers him any compassion, never offers him any of his vast resources. And then the two die. The rich man ends up in heaven with Abraham, and the poor man ends up in heaven with Abraham, and the rich man in Hades. And he's tormented and afflicted there. And he cries out. He wants the man whom he ignored his whole earthly life to dip his finger into water and to cool his tongue. And Father Abraham says this, there is a void between us that can't be breached. And realizing that his situation is hopeless, he begs for his siblings that are still alive, go to them, tell them what awaits. And Abraham's like, they have all they need. They have Moses and they have the prophets. They're well aware. They're well aware. And finally, he says, this is verse 31 of chapter 16. He said to them, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. Jesus trying to help his disciples and through his disciples help us to understand that wherever you may find yourself on this, what we like to call the faith journey, on the spectrum of faith, those who seem to have it all together and pray the right prayers and know all their Bible verses, and those who might just be starting out, you have what you need, because a little bit of faith goes a long way. If you think of maybe you've got a recipe that you're putting together and there are certain ingredients that you only need a little bit of. Right? You only need a little bit of habanero paste to spice up a dish. You only need a little bit of clove. You only need a little bit of ginger. Well, I like a lot of ginger, but you know what I'm saying. Sometimes it's just the pinch of salt that brings the flavor. Sometimes it's the I don't have it all figured out, and I don't know exactly what I'm going to say, but I see someone in the lunchroom every day, or I encounter someone at work, or at church, or wherever it might be, and they seem lonely. They sit by themselves a lot. I see her crying in her car before she comes to work. Faith, profound faith, the little mustard seed of faith can be the hay. Are you okay? Would you like to have a cup of coffee? And I think what happens to us, it happened to the disciples, is we discount those things. They're incredible seeds of faith. To speak someone's name and say, I saw you in your affliction. I saw you in your transgression, in your sin. I called you out and pointed you in a better direction. And you had trouble breaking the pattern. But every time you broke the pattern, every time you sinned, and you came to me and you said, I fell off the wagon or whatever that thing is, I held your hand and we prayed. And that didn't make me a patsy and that didn't make you a hopeless sinner. It made us citizens of the kingdom of heaven together. That's faith. Don't discount the little things, because the little things can be a tremendous blessing. And they're not benign or ordinary, they're holy. It is the inbreaking of the kingdom of heaven now. Heaven is happening now. You hear me say this constantly, and I will always give credit to the late Dallas Willard for helping me get clarity on it. Heaven is a present reality. And your little acts of mustard seed faith, bring it to life now to meet the deeply rooted challenges and sins in our lives so that we can pull them out and cast them off or hire a team of workers to help them to get it out of the way so that we can plant something new or remove the obstacle in the path. You have faith. Each and every one of you have faith. And it's not some grand action of magic or metaphysics. It can be the simple invitation. It can be giving what you have. There's tremendous good news in these challenging verses. Sit with them. Pray over them. Be anointed by them. And then act on them. And you will find that there is rich, good news to which we can all say, Amen. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray. And we thank you for the gifts of faith that you have anointed us with, that you've entrusted us with. And so we pray for the courage to share these gifts with the world. And we confess, O God, that we so often sin and fall short. But we claim the promise of Scripture when we authentically come to you with broken spirits and contrite hearts, when we confess our sin, you offer us forgiveness. And you put us back on paths of righteousness. We are eternally grateful. And we thank you for every good and perfect gift that comes from your hands. We thank you, O God, for the gift of life itself. We thank you for this day, for the breath that we draw and the opportunity we have in each moment to act in faith. We pray over this, your beautiful and good world. We pray over people in positions of power and influence that they would use their power and influence to your glory. We pray for the ones that are begging outside of the city gate, those who are afflicted in body, mind, and spirit. We pray for your healing mercies. And we pray to bring a foretaste of the kingdom of heaven into their lives. Encourage us, inspire us, give us eyes to see and ears to hear, O God, hands to help, and humility in all things. And you know the stuff that we're going through, God. The things that bring us great joy and anticipation, and the things that are just plain hard. Medical problems, various afflictions, financial situations, you know what they are. Oftentimes we write these things down. Oftentimes they keep us awake at night. You know this list. And so we make space in this time of prayer, O God, to be quiet and to share this list with you in the knowledge that when we come to you and we bring our prayer list to you, you consider every word of them. Meet us here in this moment, we pray. We break our silence. We thank you, God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. We thank you for the gift of faith, for the many treasures of our church. Among these treasures is a prayer that you taught your disciples. We've learned it in different ways, but we pray that you'd hear us as we say together, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And so, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that we will do so in faith, in the courage to act on that faith. This faith that is a gift from God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you, bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.